The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issa. In the headlines, Fair Wages and Salaries Commission supports suggestions for moratorium on salary increases. Embattled businessman Alfred Agbesi-Woyome opens defense today in 51 million Cedi judgment debt case. Presidential Task Force on Illegal Mining arrests 27 miners at Etiwa in Eastern Region. Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan admits government's shortcomings in missing schoolgirls saga. And murder trial of South African Paralympian Oscar Pistorius resumes today after two-week break.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
The news in detail. A team of economists is being assembled to assess the public sector workers' contribution to the economy. This is to ensure that productivity is linked to pay. Speaking on Talking Point on GTV and Radio Ghana on the aftermath of May Day, the chief executive of the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, George Smith Graham, said low productivity in the public sector is a major issue which must be dealt with.
Very soon we are even going to put a team of economists together to now help us to see how we can even derive the public sector's contribution out of whatever GDP that we get. But our ultimate aim is that, assuming like we had a cola of 10% this year, our ultimate aim is that if it's a cola of 10%, maybe just about 2% or 3% is what should be across board. The difference should be purely performance based. So that we'll now be able to assess the performance of individuals and then pay them accordingly. So this is where we are getting to. It is not something that we play. We didn't announce it, but just last month, we had a roundtable conference on productivity in Ghana. And we deliberately didn't want to publicize it. It was a very highly scrutinized program. We are going to follow it up with what I just said, meeting with some top-notch economists to now help us to even know the formula that we can use in deriving public sector's contribution from the GDP. Yeah. We move further to now establish a performance management system within the public sector. And we believe that as time goes on, we'll be able to now deal with some of the people we have in the public sector. I think the non-performance in the public sector is becoming a major issue.
Okay.
And it has to take an effective system in place to deal with that.
Mr. Graham said all workers have been migrated onto the single spine salary structure. He supported suggestions for a moratorium to be placed on salary increases.
Left for me alone, probably we should have even gone for the moratorium because we have just completed the migration of institutions onto the single spine and do a thorough assessment of the whole situation. Do a thorough assessment of the figures that are coming out. But the most important thing is that that's the reason why as a country we should have paused this year. Maybe gone for the moratorium, and then from that we will do a thorough assessment of the whole situation. I believe the moratorium did not happen because we all recognize that the year also started with some challenges and increases here and there, which made it difficult for us to then even make the discussion of the moratorium very meaningful. But these are all some of the reasons and understanding that we had in whole, that for us it's important that as public servants, we make the policy sustainable. And to make the policy sustainable, we need to put in place certain measures that will ensure that we work within budgetary constraints. And it is the reason why we wanted to conclude negotiations before the budget is ready, so the government can capture the wage bill and everything into the budget. Unfortunately, we couldn't complete the negotiation before the budget was ready. And so there are several measures that we are putting in place to be able to deal with this situation.
The Secretary General of the General Agriculture Workers Union, Edward Karewe, explained that workers should not be blamed for the low productivity in the public sector. According to him, workers can work better when the necessary tools are provided. He said those who supervise workers should rather be blamed for the low productivity.
We are aware of those, but who is to blame? Why do you put that blame on organized labor? Why don't you put it on those who have been paid to supervise those workers? In every institution, there is a clear organizational structure.
But when those who have been paid to make sure that people work fail to do their work, you, the same organized labor, go and insist that their pay should be increased instead of insisting that they should be punished for not doing their work.
We don't insist that those people's pay should be increased. For instance, if you look at the top level of employees, this country. They are not members of the labor unions. They are managers, they are directors, they are that Article 71 and what have you. All those people, we cannot hold them to ransom because they are not under us. What we need to do probably is this. We should not blame everybody for everything in this country. We must blame people for what they are responsible for. Those managers, if you take a chief director and the whole ministry is under that chief director, and he has got other directors who are also there to assist him to manage. If there's a problem within that ministry, they should be held accountable. There's also a minister, a political head of that particular ministry. When workers do not come to work in that particular ministry, where are the supervisors? You know, why do you come and blame labor when it then comes to the time of the wages and say that we have not increased productivity? If there are no cameras to capture us and to do your work, you as the worker, you will be limited by that constraint. There are no measurements for productivity. You can't put all this on labor, on workers.
The CEO of HR Solutions and labor consultant Austin Game charged government to take steps to ensure that those who draw salaries from the state work harder. The Secretary General of the Ghana Federation of Labor, Abraham Kumson, supported calls for the loopholes in the public sector wage bill to be plugged. President John Mahama has again debunked suggestions that the mass cocoa spraying exercise has been cancelled. He explained that the exercise has only been put on temporary hold to allow for restructuring to ensure that chemicals and fertilizers get to cocoa farmers directly. President Mahama was addressing a debate of chiefs and people of Tepa in the Ashanti region on the last leg of his three-day working visit to the region. He announced that there will be an increase in cocoa producer price this year, and also cocoa farmers will receive their bonuses this year. Pascalina Dadevo has filed this report from Kumasi.
Tepa, in the Hafuano North district of Ashanti region, is the cocoa growing area, but the bad nature of roads makes it difficult for farmers to bring their produce to the market and surrounding towns to sell. The chief of Tepa, Nane Duse Achinewa Ampim, raised a number of concerns for the president's consideration. Aside from the road network, the town needs an additional senior high school and a boys' dormitory for the Tepa SHS. Nana Ampim asked President Mahama to continue with the market project, which was started by late President John Evans Atta Mills, but has since stalled. President Mahama said it is government's duty to support cocoa farmers because the produce is a foreign exchange earner. He promised that roads and other infrastructure that Tepa needs will be provided. President Mahama said the GET Fund will take up the boys' dormitory project at the Tepa SHS. The school came third in the 2013 WASI, a feat President Mahama congratulated the school on. He said the area will benefit from a community day SHS. Earlier, President Mahama inspected work on a 60-bed district hospital for Tepa. The project, at a cost of $36 million, is 40% complete.
Pascalina Dadevo filed that report. Embattled businessman Alfred Agbesi-Woyome will today mount the witness box to open his defense on the 51.2 million Ghana Cedi judgment debt saga. Mr. Woyome is facing charges of defrauding by false pretenses and causing financial loss to the state in a trial that has lasted for more than 2 years. Last week, Mr. Oyeme had his application of no case dismissed by the fast-track High Court Financial Division, presided over by Justice John Adetnasam. Immediately after his application was thrown out, Mr. Oyeme, in an interview with journalists, said the hearing will be an opportunity for him to tell his side of the story from beginning to the end. In an interview with Radio Ghana, his lawyer, Alhaji Ahmed, said his client is ready to open his defense today. He spoke to Amasewa Bediakon.
We have always been prepared and ready for war, and so we are ready to satisfy the court.
Apart from Mr. Oyeme, who else would be coming into the defense box to testify on behalf of Mr. Oyeme?
We actually have not reached that stage yet, but it is the law that a court can take or make a decision based on the testimony of one witness. Quite apart from that, you don't need multiplicity of witnesses to be able to succeed in a criminal matter. That has not been the law. We could proceed with one witness. We could decide to proceed with two witnesses. We could do more, but we are not at this stage going to disclose to you how many witnesses we are going to actually present to the court.
Regarding the work that was done so far by the prosecution and the decision of the court, do you think the court's decision was fair to your side?
I have always regarded a finding of fact and conclusions of a court of competent jurisdiction to have been done based on justice. And when you talk about justice, you mean that the law has been applied. And once the law has been applied, we think that it is fair. We have not been unfairly treated. The judge listened to us. He read our arguments on the motion, and he took a different view. That is the beauty of the law. You present a good case, the judge will tell you that he's not satisfied with you. That happens all the time. So it is not a surprise to us. We are not dejected in any way. It has not made us lose our grounds. We are fully fortified. We are strengthened. We believe that we can make a good case.
The head lawyer for businessman Alfred Agbesiwoyeme, Alhaji Ahmed. 27 illegal miners operating in the Etiwa district and the East Aceh municipality have been arrested by the Presidential Task Force on Illegal Mining. 36 excavators, 21 water pumps and some chemicals used by the illegal miners were also seized. The suspects, who are all Ghanaians aged between 15 and 63, were arrested at their sites at Ahineasi, Achimakwedum, Chesi, Adadientem, Chebi Afiasa, and Kase Amonum and Akrofufu. Addressing the media after the arrest, the Eastern Regional Minister Julius Debra expressed concern over the rate of degradation caused by illegal mining. He said although government is not against small-scale mining, it will deal seriously with any person caught doing it illegally. The Eastern Regional Security Liaison Officer Joshua Ejekun said a lot of state funds have been used to reclaim mine pits that have been left behind by illegal miners. However, the task force has realized that those reclaimed pits are being degraded by illegal miners. Child prostitution among teenagers has become a canker. Children between the ages of 12 to 15 years are said to be engaging in prostitution in Ghana. Some teenagers are forced into it, and they use it as a means of livelihood. Against this backdrop, an NGO, Teenage Build, TAB, has been sensitizing the youth at Have in the Afajato South District of the Volta region to the need for proper adolescent reproductive health practices, as well as girl child education and other female empowerment. Correspondent Rejoice Ejiani has found this report for Radio Ghana.
Teenage Build Ghana is a non-governmental organization established last year to nurture and provide guidance to teenagers for their future well-being. Speaking at an awareness forum, the Afajato South District Director of Education, Sichufe Anedo, asked parents to encourage their girl child to take interest in education since it is a means to developing their physical, emotional and economic potential towards society. Ms. Sichufe noted that due to peer pressure, broken homes and irresponsible parenting, children engage in stealing and unprotected sex.
That was correspondent Joyce Ejiani's report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Fair Wages and Salaries Commission supports suggestions for moratorium on salary increases. Embattled businessman Alfred Agbesiwoyeme opens defense today in 51 million cedi judgment debt case. Presidential task force on illegal mining arrests 27 miners at Etiwa in Eastern Region. Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan admits government's shortcomings in missing schoolgirls saga, and murder trial of South African Paralympian Oscar Pistorius resumes today after 2-week break.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel, and more.
The Director of Human Resource and Administration of the EP Church, Reverend Daniel Dugby, has called on the church to groom leaders of integrity required for the restoration of dignity and sanity in the Ghanaian society. In his opinion, what the country needs at this critical stage of development is the leadership of religious virtues and a sense of commitment that can promote peace, justice, and growth. Reverend Dugby was speaking at a Thanksgiving service to climax the 5th Synod of the EP Church Western Presbytery held at Amfuega in the Volta region. We bring you the details.
Reverend Dugby urged the church not to shun its spiritual and moral responsibility of preaching repentance and reconciliation, adding that such a drive has the tendency of healing wounds and promoting peace. The principal of EP College of Education at Amejope, Reverend Sylvanus Tete, stressed the need for statutory and regulatory institutions to ensure that the underprivileged are not denied their fundamental human rights and justice. He said the church and the state need to put in place pragmatic measures to ensure that justice and peace prevail for the attainment of a dignified society. The Synod Moderator of the EP Church Western Presbytery, Reverend R.Y. Videka, expressed worry about the increasing politics of vilification in the Ghanaian society and cautioned that such a practice undermines the peace of the country.
That was the news desk report. The Vice Rector of the Pentecost University College, Professor Omane Enchi, says education constitutes the key to national development. He has therefore charged the government to invest more in the educational sector to steer the nation to prosperity. Professor Omane Enchi said this at the dedication of a 7-story lecture hall for the school. Here is Naomi Kwame and Fortune McCarthy's report.
Pentecost University College admitted its first batch of students in 2005. Over the years, it has grown steadily, hence the decision to construct an ultra-modern 7-story facility to ease congestion at the lecture halls. Professor Omane Enchi said the university resorted to renting of classrooms from nearby institutions for the purposes of lectures due to the limited infrastructure. A consultant and project manager for the Church of Pentecost, Reverend Joseph Buete, said the ultra-modern facility was constructed due to growth of the university. Reverend Buati said every lecture hall in the 7-story has a seating capacity of 150.
The Church of Pentecost is growing in terms of student population, in terms of staff numbers. So the university needed additional facilities for academic purposes. The 7-story lecture block, the ground floor, we have a multipurpose auditorium that can sit close to 1,000 students. Lecture studios, 2 of them, that can sit about 500 students. We have an IT laboratory, 2 in number. Again, we have nursing demonstration laboratories. We have lecture studios. They are 8 in number. Each of them sits 150 students. There is an ultra-modern library, an e-library facility that can sit about 200 students. We have staff offices and administrative setup. The next phase of TUC is movement to OUB. The church has about 80 acres of land there, near Valley View University. So the next phase of the university is to transfer some of the academic facilities or programs to OUB.
That report was filed by Naomi Kwame and Fortune McCarthy. On the foreign front, President Goodluck Jonathan has admitted that Nigerian security forces still do not know where the more than 200 abducted girls are being held. The girls were seized from their school 3 weeks ago in Borno State by suspected Islamist militants. President Jonathan was speaking for the first time since their disappearance amid growing criticism of the government's response. The murder trial of Oscar Pistorius is set to resume after a 2-week break, with his defense team continuing its case. More expert witnesses will be called as the athlete's lawyer seeks to challenge the state's claim that Pistorius deliberately killed his girlfriend. Pistorius denies intentionally killing Reeva Steenkamp in the early hours of Valentine's Day last year. That's when they need the main points again. The Fair Wages Commission has supported calls for a moratorium on salary increases in the public sector. The chief executive of the commission, George Smith Graham, said low productivity in the public sector is a major issue which must be dealt with. And Alfred Agesiwoyome says he is ready to open his defense on the 51.2 million Ghana Cedi judgment debt case today. He said the court hearing will give him the opportunity to tell his side of the story from beginning to end. Mr. Oyome is facing charges of defrauding by false pretenses and causing financial loss to the state in a trial that has lasted for more than 2 years. The news was presented by Samuel Essa in Accra.